For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Governor Ralph Northam signs into law an ethics bill prompted by JMU's controversial hiring of former Lieutenant Governor Bill Bowling. The father of slain TV reporter Allison Parker will speak at James Madison University about his campaign for gun reform. And Albemarle County Public Schools sends a student home for wearing a hat bearing a Confederate symbol on the first day of that new policy. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, March 14th. Governor Ralph Northam has signed a bill to prevent universities from hiring members of their governing boards for 2 years after they leave their positions. Senator Mark Obenchain of Harrisonburg filed the ethics bill in response to James Madison University's hiring last year of former Lieutenant Governor Bill Bowling. Bowling negotiated a $140,000 job as senior fellow, reporting directly to President Jonathan Alger, just weeks after leaving the board. Records obtained through the Freedom of Information Act show that Bowling had discussed the position with Alger while Bowling was still on the board and one of Alger's bosses. The bill prohibits such hires in the future. It passed both houses of the General Assembly with overwhelming support. It will become law on July 1st. Obenchain said that his bill put a basic conflict of interest rule for colleges into law, and that Northam should be commended for signing it. The law does not apply retroactively, and it is unclear whether Bowling will stay in his position. Well, it's been more than a month since two women came forward with accusations of sexual assault against Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax. Fairfax denies both allegations. Since the end of the General Assembly session, Republicans in the legislature have been silent on their plans to hold a legislative hearing. But as Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain reports, there is at least one confirmed investigation. The law firm in Northern Virginia, where Fairfax works.
The head of the firm told the National Law Journal in February that they've hired outside counsel to investigate Fairfax. A spokeswoman for the lieutenant governor confirms that investigation is still ongoing, and he's on leave. Jackie Ford is an employment lawyer.
Done many sexual harassment investigations, ranging from high-level executives to what's happening on the shop floor kinds of cases and everything in between.
Ford says the ultimate question for an employer in this situation is,
do I think that having this particular individual as part of my workplace represents a threat of any kind? Does it represent a threat of bad behavior or even criminal behavior toward any of my other employees or clients? And does it present the risk of any liability for my organization or both?
Ford adds that the law firm's investigation is likely to include looking into the two allegations against him, as well as his behavior while employed by the firm. She also says hiring outside counsel to investigate is an attempt to be unbiased. A spokesman for the law firm did not respond to multiple requests for comment. I'm Mallory Nopain.
The father of slain TV reporter Allison Parker will speak at James Madison University about his campaign for gun reform. Andy Parker wrote a book about his activism called For Allison, The Murder of a Young Journalist and a Father's Fight for Gun Safety. In August 2015, Allison and cameraman Adam Ward were shot to death at Smith Mountain Lake by a former co-worker during a live report for Roanoke CBS affiliate WDBJ. Allison was a graduate of JMU. Andy Parker's talk there on Thursday evening is presented by the Society of Professional Journalists. Albemarle County Public Schools sent a student home on Tuesday for wearing a hat bearing a Confederate symbol. The Daily Progress reports that it was the first day of a new dress code banning hate symbols. A spokesman said the Western Albemarle High School student refused to remove his hat when asked. The new policy prohibits students from wearing any symbols, lettering, or insignia of organizations or groups associated with white supremacy, racial hatred, or violence. The school system announced Monday in an email to parents that the ban would go into effect on Tuesday. The spokesman said it was the only incident related to the dress code change. The Harrisonburg City Council is moving closer to regulating short-term rentals in the city. The Harrisonburg Citizen reports that the council voted 3-1 on Tuesday to approve the first reading of a city ordinance that would require special use permits for rentals such as Airbnb. The measure would require owners of short-term rental properties to pay a one-time fee of $475 and then an annual registration fee of $50. The approval process could take up to 3 months. City staff will now draft a plan on how to implement the new regulations. A Washington, D.C.-based preservation group has acquired 200 acres of land in Culpeper County that was fiercely contested during the Civil War. The Daily Progress reports that the nonprofit group called the American Battlefield Trust closed on the property. It includes more than 5,000 feet of Rappahannock River frontage near Remington. The site will become part of a state park planned in Culpeper County that will encompass the Brandy Station and Cedar Mountain battlefields on either side of the town. The Rappahannock separated the Confederate Army's stronghold in Culpeper County from the Union Army's position in Fauquier County. Finally, this is Flood Insurance Awareness Week, and Congress is participating by taking a look at how flood insurance works and sometimes doesn't work, Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Congressman Denver Riggleman isn't just a freshman Republican lawmaker on the Financial Services Committee considering a revamp to the National Flood Insurance Program. He also has a personal stake in the issue.
I own a distillery. It has about 400 barrels of bourbon and whiskey in it. But there's a lot of structures like that in the 5th District that are allowed to be built for special use. It's really not defined exactly what it is as far as residential or commercial.
Not residential or commercial, a gray area for agricultural structures in special flood hazard zones. Testifying before the Financial Services Committee, Mabel Guzman at the National Association of Realtors says the way flood insurance is structured doesn't make sense for much of rural Virginia.
The policy, the way it is right now, you have to have a policy on each and every building that you have on your land, which is ridiculous because it should really be based on your survey so that you cover comprehensively, completely. Even on residential homes, they would have to get.
The National Flood Insurance Program expires in the end of May, the deadline for Congress to take action to modernize the program, potentially changing how flood insurance works for agricultural structures in flood hazard zones. I'm Michael Pope.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening and enjoy your Thursday.